You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 51. I'm sitting here in Brisbane. It's lunchtime. I'm hungry. And I've just finished recording today's dream with our guest, who is Tasha. Tasha's over in California. I think we were in California last week. We're really getting around the world in this podcast show, and I'm really enjoying that fact that we can find at least several hours of time zone windows of opportunity when we can get together between me sitting here in Australia and you all out there sitting in various parts of the world. Isn't Skype wonderful? You can come on the show whether you've got Skype or whether you've got a phone. It's Skype our end. And we either phone or Skype you. It's very easy to be on the show. You just email me, let me know that you'd like to be on. I don't even want to know your dream before we go on. I prefer not to know. And we set up a time wherever you are in the world, and I phone you and we record the conversation. So without further ado, because, hey, I'm hungry, I'm adding this introduction so that we can put it on the front of our interview and I can go and have my lunch. So here you go. Here's Tasha. Welcome, Tasha.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm really good. It's a beautiful sunny day here. How's your day been?
Oh, it's been really nice.
And it is a bean. It's the end of the day for you over there, isn't it?
Yeah, just about dinner time.
Oh, so you're doing this on a hungry tummy. You reward time afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, I've no idea what your dream is, so off you go.
Okay, this is a dream I had on Thursday. It was actually Friday morning. We had a fire alarm at 3 a.m. and it went on for a really long time. And then when I finally fell asleep, I had this really long, vivid dream. Basically, a friend and I don't really remember who the friend was, but we're sort of going on a road trip or something and we're visiting things along the way. And the first place that we stop to visit is sort of, it looks like a high school or something with that concrete brick construction and the big rooms that are sort of painted institutional colors. And it turns out that sort of totally innocently, we've sort of, we're touring like a Jehovah's Witness compound. And they take us all around, and it's basically, it really looks like a high school. And, you know, we're being very polite and being kind of led around. And meanwhile, this is sort of interspersed with sitting in a classroom at the compound and discussing integration with my husband in the dream and his father. And we talk about integration, you know, the way they had it in America when African American students got integrated into the white schools.
Yeah.
And we're all talking about it and saying that we all remember it happening, but in this way, like, we see it in the classroom, but it's like before integration in the dream, the black students are like sitting on the left hand side of the classroom in the back. And then after we talk about integration, they're like integrated in the classroom, like just sitting mixed with all the other students. And so, you know, that's like that part of the dream. And then we leave the Jehovah's Witness compound and we go sort of keep driving. And then it's like kind of like foresty, like twisty road. And we get to a another place that we're going to go on a tour of. And again, we don't realize it, but this place is a Scientology center. And we're in the Scientology Center, and it's a huge round tower, but totally empty inside, except for in the middle of it, there's this huge round pillar of rock that goes straight up. And you're sort of walking around the outside of it, and on the sides of the building, there are just things that you do, and the Scientologists are sort of giving us quizzes about stuff, like sort of to show like what Scientology can do for you or whatever. And then they give us presents at other times. And it's really strange because, you know, we're just trying to be polite because we didn't really realize we were going to end up at a Scientology center. So we're kind of wandering around, and they give us these presents. And one of the presents they give me is a stuffed toy dog that looks just like one of my real dogs. And basically, we're sort of nearing the end of our tour. And if you want to keep the present, you have to become a Scientologist. So I'm sort of having like this moment where I'm looking at the dog and I really want to keep the dog. But then I realize that I have my real dog at home. So I decide I can just give the dog back.
Yeah.
And then as, you know, they like take the presents back if you don't join. And then they send you over to this corner where they have sort of a stand where you go up and it gives you two tokens. And the two tokens are supposed to tell you what religion you should be. And one tells you, like, what religion it is, and the other one tells you how many gods it should have. And I was, like, laughing as I went up because I figured it was going to give me, like, a blank one and a 15 or something because I'm pretty undecided. But as far as religion goes, and that's when I woke up.
Wow, what a fantastic dream. So you woke up in a sort of state of half indecision and half, I bet I get the blank and the 15 gods, like eye rolling kind of feeling, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just need to ask you a couple of questions first, Tasha. You particularly picked, you know, in your dream, you picked Jehovah's Witnesses and Scientology, and you've just given us the information at the end by saying, look, you know, I really don't have a particular religion and I'm kind of searching for one, you know. So I just have to ask you, first of all, Jehovah's Witnesses, what do you have any experience of Jehovah's Witnesses?
Not really. I have known a couple in school, but I was at a wedding where we sat at a table full of Jehovah's Witnesses and we all chatted, but I don't really know any very well.
Mm. And if you could think of three words that describe where you think a Jehovah's Witness is coming from, what would they be?
I don't know. They don't celebrate, you know, any parties or anything. They're very insular and they're very rigid.
Mm. And that kind of suits the building they're in many ways. You know, it was school. It was like a school kind of structure. It was very concrete. It was very structured. It was a place to go and learn. So it wasn't really a party kind of place. It was kind of rigid. And you said that, you know, in your feeling, Jehovah's Witnesses are quite insular. And the whole theme of that part of your dream was this question of integration. You know, at the beginning of that part of the dream, the black or the African students were at the back and not integrated. And during the discussion of integration, they then became integrated amongst the people in the classroom. So there's kind of one little theme we'll come back to later there, which is you seeing Jehovah's Witnesses as being quite insular. And being insular is kind of at one extreme and being integrated is at another extreme. So there's a kind of theme going on there of insular versus totally integrated, which we'll come back to later. But first of all, let's just move over to the Scientology camp part of your dream. And the same question, Tasha, if there's three words or kind of personality descriptors of a Scientologist in your view, what would they be?
I find Scientology sort of, it makes me a little embarrassed, because when my husband and I were on our honeymoon, I thought a bunch of university students were doing a personality test and it turned out to be like a Scientology drive and it was just a really awkward situation. So thinking about Scientology just makes me feel kind of awkward and embarrassed.
Right. Okay.
Just because of that. And, I don't know, like, as far as the religion, I mean, it's very out there. It's very spacey and, you know, aliens and everything. So that's kind of what I would think of.
Mm, okay. So Scientology is feeling embarrassed, feeling and spacey and out there, an alien, basically. And it's interesting there that, and there was a question at that part of your dream of the exchange of gifts. If you become one of us, then you can have this gift. So even though you finally, you know, the penny finally dropped, think, hang on a minute, I've got a real one of these dogs. I don't need a stuffed one. Before that, there was the consideration, am I going to join them? And I'm kind of coming back here to, in the Jehovah's Witnesses camps, there's a feeling of insular that then became integrated. And in the Scientology camp, there's a feeling of alien, which is a different kind of insular in a way. You know, if something is alien, it's right out there. And I think that's the word you used to. It's right out there. It's definitely not only on an island and insular. It's actually, it's way out there. It's like, that's way foreign. That's totally alien.
Right.
But what they were trying to do at that part of the dream was integrate you into it by offering you gifts and basically putting you in an embarrassing position in the dream as well. So there's a kind of theme running through both parts of that dream of insular or alien on the one hand, and integrating something into your life on the other hand, and how you feel about that. So that's kind of like one of the threads going through it, which we'll, you know, what we'll come back and look at. And obviously at the end of the dream there, that feeling of almost, you know, being given a label, you know, wasn't it? Go over to the notice board and pick two pieces of paper or pick two tickets. It's like being given a label.
Yeah.
This is your religion and this is how many gods you'll have.
Yeah.
So there's that feeling throughout the dream too of labeling, you know, an identity, as a Jehovah's Witness identity, as a Scientology identity. Often when people have a certain identity, they may become insular or alien about it, you know, rather than integrating different identities together. So there's a question of identity as well as a question of what is separate and what is integrated running through the whole dream. And at the end of the dream, you're kind of really basically thinking, ah, look, it's like they're going to tell me what religion, what label to have. But, you know, I'm not really at a stage. I don't really want to be told. You know, that's not for me. Labeling is not me. That was the kind of feeling at the end of the dream, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, it was definitely feeling like whatever I got, they were going to be very surprised and probably kick me out right afterwards.
So why would they be surprised?
Just because the feeling was that, like, they expected it to tell them that I was supposed to be a Scientologist, and I was sure that it wouldn't, that it would be something really different.
Right, okay. And did you have a feeling of what that might be, apart from the 15 gods?
It was just, I was just thinking about sort of how, you know, really open, you know, like I was thinking about myths basically, and kind of that sort of, you know, like Greek myths and stuff. And just, I don't know, it was sort of just an amused distancing from the whole thing.
But not a Greek chorus.
No.
So an amused distancing. And there's that word distancing, you know, which is standing way back from something, but maybe not as far as alien distancing.
Right, right.
So distancing is one word, and integration. When you go through integration, you don't distance. You get up close and personal and integrate with something. So although, yeah, everyone listening and including me is going to go, yep, Tasha, that was the right thing to do at the end of the dream. You know, stay open-minded, keep some distance from this, don't go there. Sorry, apologies to any Scientologists listening. Don't go there. Right, good answer, tick, tick, good girl. You're still giving us a clue and talking about the dream that distancing is important to you. And the, you know, earlier aspects of the dream are exploring insular or alien / distancing versus integration. So we're going to go deeper into it, but my feeling is that, and the dream usually reflects what's been going on for you in the day or two before.
Mm-hmm.
So my feeling is it's exploring some part of your life that you're ready to integrate and move forward with, but by the same token, some kind of feeling of, oh, I do have a natural tendency to keep my distance and just hold back a bit. And your dream sees that almost in an extreme of like, because there was a while where you almost took the present of the stuffed dog, you know, so there was a bit of persuasion happening there before you realized that this was a false thing. It was a stuffed dog, not the real thing, your dog at home. So there was that kind of feeling of almost, you know, that there's a feeling of persuasion that you in the day or two before the dream, you may have been looking at integrating something into your life, but then you pulled back and got the distance. So there's a feeling of distance is important to you, but maybe sometimes that distance, although while being important, maybe takes you to a further distance, you know, too far out from where you actually need to be in order to integrate something important. So it's almost like a feeling of, in order to move forward in life, sometimes you've just got to break a few barriers, come a bit closer and be ready to integrate into the next area of your life. Now, it's interesting that that Scientology thing in waking life came up for you when you were on your honeymoon, because no matter how close your relationship with your husband before your honeymoon, the honeymoon does sort of mark officially and perhaps mythologically too, a kind of a new closeness, a new beginning, a new integration, clearly, you know, and maybe the possibility of all kinds of integrations as you move forward together. So you were in that position in your waking life of being open and integrating and changing, and changing your identity as well, you know, moving forward as a married person. And waking life kind of challenged you in a way with this Scientology thing and put you in a very embarrassing, you know, embarrassed position. And then your dream is then bringing up that memory of, the Scientology and the embarrassed position it put you in. And so I'm feeling that, you know, whatever happened to you in the day or two before your dream also related to here I am, integrating or considering integrating or moving forward or dropping some barriers or getting closer, you know, just like I was in my honeymoon where I was really marking a new me, a new Tasha, a new moving forward, new ways of doing things. But I'm just hold on a minute. Hold on. I'm not too sure about this. So I'm going to go into more detail in the dream, but how are we going so far?
Oh, I think really well.
Okay, so you're beginning to relate to it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go in deeper. At the beginning of the dream, you kind of, as you said, you know, you went on a road trip. And I like, by the way, that this was after that fire alarm that you had to suffer in the middle of the night. It's like, you know, you would have been laying there and, you know, every part of you is going, well, what's a fire alarm? It's keeping us awake. It's alarm. It's warning bells. It's a false warning, hopefully. It's preparing for, oh, you know, what if there was a real fire? Are we, you know, do we have all the coping mechanisms? And all that may have fed into the dream too. It's like, oh, what in my life? Do I think, you know, do I feel, warning, danger? Where am I being over defensive and over concerned? Where am I being rightly concerned? You know, and all those things would have played into it as well. And you do have that in the dream as well, you know, when that, like, warning, no, not being a Scientologist, warning, dog at home better than stuffed dog.
Yeah.
So we've got that in there too. So anyway, it's a road trip. And anytime you tend to have a road trip in a dream, it's usually going over, a road trip in your life. So not a literal road trip, but the journey that you're on in some area of your life, whether that's your personal development, your spiritual journey, your career development, your relationship journey, whatever you consider to be a journey by which, you know, you have moved from a starting point and you are moving along a road towards something different. That's the road trip in your dream. So for whatever reason, your dream was starting with the Jehovah's Witness kind of thing. And did you notice, Tasha, in there how you described the building as really kind of concrete and structured?
Yes.
Yeah, and schoolroom kind of. So we got there quite a left-brain, academic, cut-and-dried kind of scenario. And then when you left there, in other words, when you left that behind you and continued in your journey, you particularly noticed how green and I think you said winding roads and hills. So that's more moving into definitely not structured, more into the right brain, personal growth, you know, growing things, green stuff, a lovely feeling, growth, basically personal growth and right brain, more creative perhaps. And then that took you to the next place. And what I particularly noticed there was although it was a building, it was a structure. You described it as round, didn't you? Kind of cylindrical.
Yes.
Didn't you say?
Yeah.
But do you remember thinking back to that building, whether there were any straight edges or whether it was all kind of curved?
No, it was totally round. It was sort of like if you picture the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but standing straight up and like dark gray stone.
Okay, that's fantastic. So it was even stone. And your first building, the school building, what was that? Was that more like brick or?
Yeah, like those concrete bricks that they make things out of.
Okay, so your first building was man-made, made of man-made stuff, you know, bricks, concrete. It was man-made material, as well as being straight lines and structures and left brain. And your Scientology building, so we are going to find some good stuff in this, but hey, I'm not here to convert you to Scientology, and I'm not a Scientologist, and I wouldn't go there either. Sorry, Scientologists listening in. But that building was a man-made structure again, but it was made with stone, which is a natural material, isn't it? And it had a rock at the center of it as well, you said, which obviously is one of the most ancient natural materials, or one of the most ancient building natural materials in the world, must be rock for sure. And also the building is rounded. So although it's a man-made structure, it's got more the curves of where we would imagine our right brain or our more creative curved kind of lateral fluid kind of thinking and feeling comes from, as opposed to that Jehovah's Witnesses straight line structure, man-made concrete. Okay, so can you see the difference between the two buildings?
Definitely.
Mm. So, and the second one was also slightly more enticing, because there was maybe I could stay here. But what you noticed was that it was offering you something false.
Right.
You've got something natural at home. You've got the real thing at home within you. So there's some aspect where in the day or two before the dream, you were enticed to consider something that felt man-made, but felt creative, felt different, felt like an interesting way to go, felt pretty solid with that rock kind of thing, maybe went back almost through, like, this is something that stretches back to ancient times. And maybe this connects with you saying at the end of the dream that you were thinking, oh, mythology, ancient Greek stuff, you know, something that seems to be ancient and with a strong foundation and not too strict, not too structured. And yet at the last moment you realized it was false. So we'll just sort of leave that sitting there for the moment, and we're just going to walk back along the road and go back to the Jehovah's Witnesses building. Okay, stay with me here.
Okay.
Because what I liked about the Jehovah's Witness building was that the integration did take place. Now, everyone in a dream represents an aspect of yourself. So even though you said your husband was also in the Jehovah's Witness part of the dream?
Right. He and his father and I were talking about the integration and seeing integration happen.
That's right. So were he and his father, the three of you were all of a mind that integration did need to happen? Or what was the kind of feeling in the dream as you talked about the integration?
We talked about integration, and we were saying, oh, we've all seen it happen. Like, we were all in school when integration happened, and we all saw, you know, the black students begin to sit with the white students. And then, and it was like this really positive feeling, but we were just all saying that, like, we had personally been part of it.
Okay, that's fantastic. The men in your dream, even though these are people that you know very well, also represent aspects of yourself, because when you look at your husband, if you pick 10 random people from the street, some who know your husband very well and some who don't, and you said to them all, give me three words to describe my husband, they'd probably all come up with completely different views of him.
Right.
And so would you. You know, your view is coloured by your experiences with him as well. And you probably know him an awful lot better than everybody else, but everybody represents, when we know a person, whether we, you know, even if we know them really well, what we're seeing is what we understand about that person, not necessarily who that person thinks they are or who they actually are. So even though it's someone we know really, really well, in a dream, everybody in a dream represents something about the way that you see them. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So if, for example, you knew someone down the street, you actually knew in waking life someone down the street who was really racist, and your dream was concerned about looking at, you know, aspects of racism, your dreaming brain might go, I know, I've got a good character for that. And you would bring in the man down the street that you know to be racist. So he would represent racism, because that's how you look at him. You with me?
Yes.
All right. So everyone in a dream represents something more about you than about them. They're kind of like a symbol for how you see them.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, your husband is also someone very close to you, obviously, and in the kind of mythological sense, if we go back to that, the husband is more the, I'll go out and fight for you, darling. I'll go and kill a few lions and sort of, you know, I'll do the outer world. You do the inner world. You do the home and kitchen and children, and I'll go out there and do the work. Now, that's not how life is anymore. But in many senses, our dreams sometimes do tend to look at it like that, and have the men in our dreams, like your husband and his father, as sometimes being more like connected with how I, Tasha, am in the world out there. When I go outside and I do my fights and I do my battles and I do my career in the world out there, I kind of picture that as the male side of me, like maybe my husband. Okay? So he represents that. And of course, his father's in the dream as well. So the two of them may also represent certain beliefs. You know, we tend to pick up beliefs from our parents. So we grow up either to have exactly the same beliefs as our parents, or to have some of those beliefs opposite because we didn't like what our parents believed in. So we tend to have identical beliefs in some areas, or very, very opposite camp ideas from our parents.
Right.
Either way, you know, if your husband's father to be in the dream, it's almost like the two of them probably represent some beliefs that they both stand for together, or in opposition, that you're looking at in the dream, and that are to do with integration. So what this tells me so far is that there's a sense in which in the day or two before the dream, you were looking at integrating something new into your life. And it was probably out there in the big world, maybe in your career. And it may have been colored by the particular beliefs that you see in your husband and maybe in his father as well. And some part of you is going, yeah, look, we've all been here. We've done this. We've integrated good stuff before. Like in the dream.
Yeah.
So, you know, come on, guys. I, Tasha, can do this again. I can integrate stuff. I've seen it done. I've seen the impossible, the integration of Black African students in schools. I've seen the impossible happen. So I know that integration can happen. I can do this. So there's that aspect there. And you see that in the dream. Kind of like knowing that that is possible, the integration is possible, is where you then move on in the journey and then confront this other thing, which is more creative, more right-brained, more ancient, more enticing, even though you eventually discover it to be false. And you're really considering, integration is possible. We've all seen this in the past. Strangest things can happen, you know, for the good of all. Things that people never thought would be able to, would happen, can happen. Like the integration of black and white. But, you know, just because integration can be a good thing, I don't necessarily have to. And that's kind of like part of the bottom line of the dream. I don't have to. This particular integration is not for me. I want to stay open-minded in this. It's a false offering.
Yeah.
And there's something about that. So just one last that when you said at the end, oh, it's like, you know, there'll be 15 gods. A number in a dream can be surprisingly significant. What happened to you when you were 15 around these kind of subjects of integration?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, I had just moved to California and I was probably like sort of getting used to, you know, because different parts of the country are very different from each other. So I think in California, you know, kids were a lot nicer to each other across racial lines, whereas where I had been living before, there wasn't that. But, and so I was sort of really getting used to that and being really, I was like really happy. As far as like, that's kind of what would really stand out to me in terms of integration at that time, is that we had this really safe, happy sort of high school environment.
Yeah. And prior, that will be it. And prior to moving there, did you observe problems with integration, or were you on the receiving end of some problems of discrimination?
Well, the thing is, we moved to North Carolina from England. I lived in England until I was about 11, and then we moved to North Carolina. And in England, there were no problems with integration, but in North Carolina there were. And it really always confused and upset me. So there were problems. And, you know, I would always be treated really well, but then my friends wouldn't. And that would upset me.
Right. Okay. So it was a very big issue at a kind of difficult time as adolescence is for everybody, really. And then when you moved to California at age 15, you felt much better. You could see more. You felt integrated. You saw more integration around you, right?
Yes.
So how would you, I can see, but I'm going to get this from you. How would you see that as related to, look, there can be many gods?
Oh, well, I mean, I think everyone should be able to pick whatever they want to pick or not pick anything. As far as that goes.
And to live together in harmony?
Absolutely.
Mm. So that you know, you could take the allegory there almost of, you know, I can have 15 gods, maybe. And maybe that would shock the Scientologists. I can have 15 gods. But, you know, the moving it out into a broader community scale is more like, you know, maybe people of many diverse religions with many different gods can coexist and be integrated, and that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's a kind of feeling in your dream of, you know, things shouldn't be divided up into religions, like these are the Jehovah Witnesses and these are the Scientologists, and you've got to belong to one of them. And when you belong, you pay a price, you know, you get the stuffed dog and you have to leave the real dog behind or whatever it was. And so it's paying a price for putting a label on you, Jehovah's Witness, Scientologist, English student in North Carolina, whatever. You pay a price for that, for having a label, for being insular, yeah, or for being alien, as opposed to, you know, not paying a price and staying open-minded and the integration aspect there.
Yeah.
So how does this reflect in the day or two before the dream, you know, questions of integration and moving forward in your life?
You know, I'm not really sure. It's kind of funny to think about what was going on. I mean, it could have been the fire alarm or something, but there is one funny thing. My husband and I got into an argument because he had gone to a work party and he was out really late and I hadn't known that he was going to. So I was really mad. And then he reminded me that he told me he was going to be there and I'd just forgotten. And then I wasn't mad anymore. So.
Okay. So in a sense, you got angry, for good reason until you realized that you had been told. And then it was like, it was like a false warning, almost like the fire alarm. Like, there was nothing to be alarmed about after all. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's to do with labeling and things again, isn't it? Like, you could, once you knew that he had told you, you could integrate that thought or that feeling into you, and then that changed the outcome.
It did, yeah. And it was kind of funny because I was so worked up and then it was just like over.
see, you set off that person that decided to do that fire alarm in the middle of the night. It's like a reverberation.
Yeah.
We're just going to do a false alarm here. Echoing your burning anger the day before, which was a false alarm. So, yeah, you know, we're making light of it together, but that is indeed part of it. It's integrating knowledge, information, integrating where other people are coming from, integrating understandings and misunderstandings into the big picture. And things becoming easier to live with, or even funny once you understand where another person is coming from. So that on your personal scale is like, you know, the bigger picture is, well, there's Jehovah's Witnesses and there's Scientologists and there's all sorts of other beliefs and religions, and it's easier to tolerate them or integrate them once you understand where they're really coming from. So your dream kind of picked those great big huge themes in a way to perhaps drive that home.
Yeah.
Particularly because the Scientology thing was something that you experienced on your honeymoon. So it was when you and your husband were sort of getting all those little sort of day-to-day routine things sorted out, like, you know, if I'm coming home for dinner, do I need to tell you? Or if I tell you that I'm going to be out late, how are we going to do that thing? You know, all those... or annoying little things that you have to, patterns that you have to set up in order to make any relationship, whether or not you've been living together beforehand, things can change once you've got married. So it's like, you know, we're setting some slightly different rules here, and integrating different ways of being.
Yeah.
How are you finding in the last, say, your dream was last Friday, I think you said, in the last couple of weeks, have there been any changes at work or around work, particularly around being more creative or less structured?
Well, it's gotten a lot busier, and they've given me a lot more responsibility recently. I've sort of had the same job for a year and a half, but our project was going really slow, and now it's speeding up, so they're sort of finally letting me do the stuff I should have been doing all along.
So that's given you more, is that stuff that you should have been doing all along that you're now getting? Is that more fluid, more creative in a way?
Sort of. It's like managing the schedule and getting everyone to do what they're supposed to be doing. You know, it's just sort of empowering me to do stuff, because before they, you know, just wanted to do everything themselves and not let the burden off or whatever.
Okay, so what you're now doing is enabling integration
of the workflow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, for other people, for the team, you're you know, moving ahead and integrating the different aspects of it, and you're also integrating the new role, the more fluid role, you know, that what you're meant to be doing into what you're doing, so it's becoming more mm-hmm. fluid. But by the same token, your dream is seeing that, like the Scientology building, it's like, yeah, this is getting pretty close. I'm quite enjoying this. This is pretty good. It's very enticing. But the bottom line is, but it's still alien. It still requires something from me. And it's threatening to remove a certain privilege or gift if I don't fully subscribe to it. And I really would prefer to stay more open-minded here. Is that how you're feeling at
yes.
work?
Yes. Yeah, we have a bunch of people who want to talk bad about each other. And I don't know, it just gets a little ridiculous. I joked the other day that I was the only one everyone still liked because I avoided everyone and kept my mouth closed.
Right, so there you go. So in a sense, you're the one that everyone still likes because you're not, in a sense, not integrating. You're standing outside, keeping your distance, like you said at the end yeah. of the dream, in order to be, well, partly in order to be liked, but partly, I guess, in order to do your yes. job, to have everyone on side, or maybe not, maybe doing your job. I don't know what your job is. Maybe doing your job sometimes is being disliked and challenging people to step out of their own comfort zones. I don't know that, only you know that. But the essence is, as you're saying, is that there's a the kind of downside of your job is the kind of bitching yeah. with other people. And I changed the word, sorry, I made it like the dog, yep. you know, in your dream. Or the and also your own feeling of like, I'm doing this job well, but I'm doing it because I'm keeping my mouth closed. You know, and to some extent, the Scientology community, from what I understand, and if you're listening in and you're a Scientologist, I'm sorry if I get this wrong, but the Scientology, from what I understand, is a lot of secrets are only unfolded once you're in. And once you're in, boy, you're in. It's difficult to get out again, and you're not really encouraged to speak out about what's happening inside. So our unconscious mind goes way dramatic in dreams, and your unconscious mind is going, I'm enjoying my work. It's fluid. It's got all this, but it's a bit like Scientology. And maybe I'd like to open my mouth a bit, and maybe I'd like to keep my options yeah. open. And maybe I'm, you know, more keen to have the same kind of experience that I was when I was 15 and I moved to California and felt more integrated, felt probably okay about opening my mouth yeah. and speaking. Whereas at the moment you're feeling not okay about opening your mouth and speaking, unless it's speaking the words that are carefully constructed right. by you. So sometimes, you know, sometimes in life's road journey, like your road journey at the moment, Tasha, I mean, sometimes we all know the reality of, you know, our careers are that sometimes we have to go along with some things we don't want to do, and sometimes we have to keep our mouths closed. But your unconscious mind is just ringing the fire alarm and going, whether it's a false alarm or not, it's going, just be aware that I'm not really feeling completely comfortable about this and completely comfortable about the bad, you know, the bad mouthing. And then another part of your dream is going, yeah, but you know, it's maybe bad mouthing. It's a bit like being racist. You know, maybe there's a way to integrate and integration leads to toleration. And maybe there's a way to tolerate more the people that are bad mouthing, playing around with all those kind of ideas. So, you know, after interpreting a dream, the key thing really is to decide what to do with it and to move forward and do a dream alchemy practice. So what I mean by that is a dream reflects what's going on for you in the last day or two. And I think between you and I, we've put that together fairly tightly. And then the next thing is to say, okay, so what that dream does is tell you, Tasha, that this is how your mind is processing your life at the moment. That's how your unconscious mind views what is going on for you at the moment. And your unconscious mind is at the moment slightly thinking, oh, you know, maybe I'll take the false dog. And the other part of your unconscious mind is going, ah, oh, I want to keep my options open. I want to be more like when I was 15. Yeah. So, and that, if your unconscious mind is programmed that way, it's usually your unconscious mind that wins in all the battles between the conscious and unconscious mind. So going forward from there without making a change, you're probably going to notice that in the job that you're doing, that that feeling will continue, that you may, in fact, increasingly feel that you can't really express yourself in the way that you want to, and increasingly feel, am I losing touch with the natural thing here? That's like your own dog, your own stuff, your own gift, your own talents, your own instincts, your own dog. Am I giving that up for something false, the stuffed dog? And so you may, you know, without making any changes, continue in the job, but always be thinking, I'd really like better integration. How can I do this? So, you know, in order to work out a dream alchemy practice to go from here, understanding a bit more about your dream now, Tasha, are you happy with how your unconscious mind is viewing this, or would you like to kind of tweak it and make some changes that would create a different outcome for you in your life? What outcome do you want in your waking life?
Well, I think that the way it's sort of unfolding is pretty much the way I feel in my waking life too. You know, like I think that if the economy wasn't so bad, I'd probably be looking around for a new job, but you know, it definitely makes sense for it to sort of be like, I have to keep separate, you know, cause it's true. I do.
Mm. Yeah. So reading between the lines there, what the key word was, if the economy, or while the economy continues as it is. So we want to sort of project forward and, anticipate or envision a time when the economy changes.
Yeah.
And you flow into the kind of job and the kind of being that you would prefer. And my sense is if we can construct a vision for that, then whether it's a matter of the economy changing or whether suddenly a little chink opens in your private universe, in your private area that somehow offers up the opportunity that you're looking for, then it's there for you because your unconscious mind is ready for it. How does that sound? Awesome. Okay. So I'm playing with your dream symbols now, because what dream alchemy does is it's exercises. It's either a visualization or an affirmation or artwork or something like that, that works with the symbols that your dreaming mind has chosen to change them a little bit. So it's like talking to your unconscious mind in its own language so that your unconscious mind is more, ready to embrace the, future that you want to have. Okay. So looking at your dream, you know, and inviting your help here as well with creating this picture, I guess like the positives in your dream is you want to keep the 15 gods option open, don't you? And you want the real dog, not the false dog. Okay. And we don't want to sort of cement the Scientology thing in motion. But we do want to get the feeling of what was the one aspect about that building that you found really enticing?
It sort of had these pretty glens inside that were sort of like little woodland knolls. And then you'd sort of tumble over them into an area where the presence would be. And it was just very pretty and quiet and idyllic.
Oh, lovely. Okay. So idyllic. And again, the natural self, you know, the little, the green, the idyllic natural self. And then, of course, other areas were more concerned with the false dog. So let's say, how would it be if you envisioned that you're still in that building for the moment, because you said that you're happy to go along with that at the moment while you put up a vision of where you'd like to be. You're still in that. So are you good at visualizing? So you're in that part of the dream. You know what integration is. You value integration, and you're in that lovely part where there's the green, the little knolls, the little valleys, and it's beautiful. And you've got that really feeling of, I like being here. This is a very pleasant place to be. What I like about this building is the parts of it that are natural and growing, the valleys. Because where we're not going to go is the false parts, like the stuffed dog. So I like this. There are certain areas of my life that I really like, and it's these, the little green, the little valleys, because I'm getting something from this. And this is where the gifts are. And amongst the false gifts, there's also real gifts here. There's gifts for me. And the aside there is, in doing a job like this, I'm learning stuff that is going to be a gift for me, you know, further down the track, that I'm going to be able to apply in different jobs. So you're in those kind of, visualizing being in those lovely kind of knoll green, lovely places, with a sense of there's gifts that I can, real gifts here, like there's real dogs here, nothing stuffed. There's this lovely stuff here. And this is also a place where I can have 15 gods if I want to. And just have that feeling of, not so much like the shock in the dream, but more the feeling of I'm open. You know, I can have 15 gods and bring in some kind of feeling about the actually positive emotions that you had when you moved to California that made you feel so good about all the integration. Because that's part of the 15. So here I am in this lovely green knolls, this lovely curvy building with all these beautiful gifts and this beautiful feeling of promise here. There's great promise here. And what I'm integrating into this feeling of promise is the fact that I can be in this green grassy knoll and have 15 gods, or as many gods as I want to have. Thank you very much. And we can all live here happily in one beautiful integrated place. And when I want, I can move out of the building and I can move to a different place with the 15 gods or more gods, and just generally kind of really focusing on that feeling of integration upon integration upon integration. How does that feel to you?
It feels really good, actually. It's sort of, it's kind of like feeling really calm.
Yeah. So what that's doing is providing you that calm, feel-good, integrated place within yourself that you would take through while you continue the job, you know, which you say in the current economy is a job that you need to have and that will actually instill gifts in you that you can take forward. But it's finding that sense of calm and growth, because all the green stuff is growing there, and of integration and balance and keeping your own natural self while you're there, but all the while on a vision of moving yourself forward to a place where you have the same kind of emotions that you had when you arrived in the idyllic California when you were 15. And what that's doing is your unconscious mind is beginning, as you say, to calm and relax and go, yeah, I can envisage a place like this. And one day there'll be a little chink in your private universe and you'll see that place, and it's not in that building, it's somewhere else. And you go, yeah, I'm all ready for this. This is good. I can do this, because integration is me. I've been there before. I've seen it happen in the most unlikely circumstances. I know it can happen. And I'm not feeling so distanced. I'm not feeling like totally alien. I'm not feeling insular, even though my role at the moment can feel like it demands that from me, that I've got to keep my mouth closed. But I can actually get closer all the time. It matches this place of the lovely green and the 15 gods. Then, you know, that's where I'm going to roll into. That's where I'm going. All the while, nothing stuffed and false. Thank you very much. I've got the real stuff within me, like I've got the real dog at home.
Yeah, I think that that's actually really helpful, because I've been feeling so stressed at work lately. But if I can kind of bring that emotion to when I'm going there, it'll help me do what I need to do, which is stay calm and focused and, you know, not help ruffle any feathers.
That's beautiful. That's excellent. So there's two ways in which you can use it. First up, Tasha, do that visualization about 30 times a day for 2 weeks. and then twice a day. And then also, as you say, on the way to work, make sure one of those is on the way to work. And then if at work you suddenly get the slightest feeling of, oh, this is going stuffed false here, to bring up the visualization at the same time. Even to get something like a little a bracelet or a charm or something in your pocket or a ring, something that you can touch in a slightly difficult situation at work, that by touching it instantly puts you back in the feeling of the visualization. That will help too. That, you know, that's part of the alchemy. And you'll be surprised how quickly a more congenial opportunity will open for you. It may still require you going through some of the structures and some of the pain and some of the keeping your mouth closed, but facing the issues about why you feel like this. And when you come out the other side, you'll be surprised how quickly things actually shift and change for you. So you're shifting and changing them by doing the visualization so that you're calmer in the situation you're in, and that is a change. But B, that will translate to an actual, like, total job change as well, that's more conducive on the road trip, the next stage on the road trip.
No,
any questions?
Not really. My husband just wrote me a note that I thought was kind of interesting with the integration and talking to his dad. He told me that his father was actually in the first class in Miami at Miami High School to be integrated. So I'm not sure if my subconscious already knew that, but I don't think I knew that.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. So that's a great, as you say, whether your conscious mind knew it or not, but your unconscious mind somehow must have picked that up from him, or knew it and forgotten it and brought him in as a perfect example of that integration. And how lovely, you know, that's something that, as I say, you didn't consciously know. And it's kind of like an endorsement of the feeling of the whole dream too, that your husband's father was one of the first. So not only can integration happen surprisingly, but a person like your father-in-law and like you, Tasha, can be the first witness, not Jehovah's maybe, but the first witness to actually go through it and go, God, it's actually, God, it's actually happening now. You know, it's not even something that I necessarily have witnessed in the past. This is new and it's happening to me right now. I'm in the front row. This is for real. I'm sure you've got many people out there thinking and thinking and thinking, and maybe a few Scientologists sending me a few emails, which I will be very interested to read if we get any. And I'll certainly be, talking about them in a future podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your dream, Tasha. It's been a pleasure. And there you go. That was Tasha and her husband helping there, passing notes about his father-in-law. So that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. And I'm sure that's got a lot of you thinking. Here's the thing, that if you're a guest on the show, I mean, obviously, I respect and I'm very careful about a lot of confidentiality. So sometimes I don't dig quite as deeply as I might do if you're having a confidential conversation with me about your dream. And also, if I'm talking to you confidentially, you know, if you book a phone consultation with me, I will actually usually ask you for more, you know, once we've done the interpretation, ask you to outline more specific details about what's actually happening for you, so that we can create a more specific alchemy and really get down to the nuts and bolts of what's happening for you in your life, what the dream is reflecting about that, and how you can establish changes that will work from there. Although you don't know the callers in or the guests in the show, I still feel that I protect some amount of confidentiality by not digging that deep, while still being helpful to the guest and being and demonstrating to you all listening in some of the aspects of how to work with dreams. So I do encourage you, if you're listening in, either to come on the show and be a guest, which I absolutely love, or if you want to talk to me privately and have a phone consultation, and just to know that you get a full hour. And of course, we go in really deep and really personal, and you can say absolutely anything to me and I can say anything to you, because no one is listening in. And details for that, phone consultations, as well as all the free resources and lots of other stuff, are on my website at www.dream.net.au, or on my blog at wsjanetereza.com. And of course, also join the Facebook fan page, whatever it's called, where if you're there, you get to find out first what's being blogged new, what's happening, and other stuff. So thanks for another week, guys, and I'll see you next Friday for episode 52. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.